Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahavirayan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so then continuing with this discussion on moral instructions, now it's between Yudhishthira and Bhima. Yudhishthira was firm. How, O Bhima, shall I now falsify my word for the sake of wealth? To me, nothing is greater than truth, right? Because the truth will be higher. Because for the Kshatriyas, then that's the, if their word is not kept, then no one will trust them. Like no one trusts Duryodhana because you know he's always changing his position. So it's very important for the kings, right? So they've been looking at it from one angle. Right, so Draupadi and Bhima basically looking at the same angle. But then here now Yudhishthira has pointed out that there's again the higher principle. For a respectable person, it is better to die than to transgress his word. Let us pass our days here in peace. Better days will come. A farmer scatters seeds and awaits the harvest. In the same way, virtue and truth always bring results in time. Do not doubt this principle. Right, so they've done everything right. They've done all, you know, everything according to proper. It will give us its fruit in time. So in other words, whatever they had before, that was from their previous work. And then having gotten all that, then what they were doing, all the pious things of serving the Brahmins and taking care of the citizens, that will again give its fruit in the future. Bhima was not convinced. His heart was too full of anger. He had not even been able to sleep since coming to the forest, right? So they're there 3 months, so he's just at night staring, you know, up at the sky, right? Neither could he face the prospect of waiting so many years before he could vent his rage on the Kauravas, right? He's just thinking, he has to wait, you know, the 13 years in the forest, you know, like that, before he can go back and kill them. You know, it's just, for him, it just seems like an eternity. What virtue had they ever observed? Like, you know, what have the Kauravas done? What virtue? Right? Why then should Yudhishthira treat them as honorable? Like the point is, his point here is that you deal with honorable people honorably. Dishonest people, you don't have to be honorable yourself. You just, you know, stay out of their way and just do the needful. Because otherwise they're only going to take advantage. Because Yudhishthira is honorable, then Duryodhana and Shakuni used it for their advantage to completely trick him and take everything away. So that's the point, is someone may say that, you know, you have to deal nicely with everybody. No, you don't, because you deal with people how they deal with you, like that. Now, if you can take a higher path and all that, then that's very good. But it's not that you're obliged. You're not obliged to deal in a fair way with people who are unfair. You know, you do what needs to be done to protect yourself and the environment you work within. It doesn't mean you have to do something wrong or bad. It just means that you don't have to follow what they want you to do. Because as far as materialists go, if they could take all the wealth of the whole world and just enjoy that and everybody else would, you know, suffer, they do that, each individual, you know, so then that's a big problem. Did he think they respected his virtue and adherence to truth? Like, they'll laugh at it. They'll say he has it. They have to trust that he will, but they'll laugh. They saw him as weak and were laughing at him. If only Yudhishthira would see sense and order them to gear up for battle. Bhima tried again to convince him, right? Because that's Bhima's idea. O great king, how can any mortal make a promise that is dependent on the passage of time? No one knows when his life will end. We have now been in the forest for 13 months. Okay, it's 13 months now. Let that be our 13 years. Indeed, the Vedas state that in certain circumstances, a month can constitute for a year, can substitute for a year. Right, certainly so. So he's saying technically we have been 13. So then we could go back now and say, a month is a year. You know, that they've, that, because Shastra said it, so they're not cheating. You know, and everything Duryodhana did was cheating. So they're still working at a better, proper level. Let us go now and crush our enemies. Even if we were to go to hell on that day, what hell will, that hell will feel like heaven, right? So he says we go back and we kill Duryodhana and all his brothers. Even if we go to hell, that hell will seem like heaven. You know, he'll be so happy having killed all of them. Although only Draupadi and I have revealed our hearts to you in this matter, Arjuna, the twins, Kunti, and our many allies share the same feelings. Only because they seek to please you do they remain silent, right? Because he's so special that everyone wants to please him. And he's taken this vow, so they're going along with it. It is only weakness that forces you to adhere to your pledge. Dear brother, no one is praising you for your kindly disposition towards your enemies. They say he's virtuous and he follows his vow, but no one's saying that it's a good vow. That's his point. Bhima stood silhouetted by the fire. His huge frame resembled a blazing mountain. O king, although remaining fixed in virtue, you still cannot see the truth, like an ignorant man who has memorized the Vedas without knowing their meaning. You are a Kshatriya, yet you act like a Brahmin. Right? Because the point is his position is very glorious. Because when he said, oh, you're weak that you're doing this, but to be able to control yourself in this takes much greater strength. And that, but he's pointing out that strength that he's using is that of a Brahmin, not of a Kshatriya. A king's duties are fraught with crookedness and cunning. You know this well. Bhima had another concern. How would they be able to live incognito for the 13th year? So he's worried about, okay, even if they spend the 12 years, and then in the 13th year they're incognito, and then they come back, but he's worried that in that 13th year, Duryodhana will have his spies in every town and village on the planet. You know, and unfortunately, they won't be following Lord Chaitanya's instructions and chanting Hare Krishna. You know, so every town and village, he'll be just doing his politics. They were known throughout the world. Everybody knows them. And Duryodhana had many supporters. Numerous kings who had been subjugated by the Pandavas at the time of the Rajasuya now backed the Kauravas. Duryodhana would have his spies looking for them everywhere. Bound by Yudhishthira's promise, they would be living in the forest forever. Force would be the only way out, sooner or later. Bhima implored Yudhishthira, "Please give the order for battle, O hero. There is no higher duty for a Kshatriya. If there be any sin in this course, then you can counteract it later by sacrifice and charity." Right? Because as a king, you're supposed to protect the citizens, and that means you have a righteous leader. Duryodhana is not righteous, so Bhima's point is, yes, then by going to war here and that, then, and if there's some problem, then they can perform more sacrifice and charity. The point is doing something wrong, just because you do something right, it doesn't counter the wrong. It establishes right. And then with time you go and you behave in a right way. But the results of the bad will come, you know, whatever it is, like that. You know, it's just like, let's say I cook lunch and I burn the rice. So now I cook again and I cook the rice properly, right? So I have produced a better situation that I can go on, but did it change the rice that was burnt? No, that still remains burnt. Right? So it must be understood, you can't counter a bad activity with a good activity. The good activity gives its own result, and the bad activity gives its results. Yudhishthira sighed again, but did not speak. Bhima was overcome by passion. He thought, Bhima was overcome by passion, he thought, and not thinking carefully. Could he not understand that the Supreme Lord has somehow ordained their suffering? All they could do now was follow their religious duties as prescribed by God, leaving the results in his hands. They could not please the Lord by abandoning religion, and to please God was always everyone's prime duty. Surely Bhima knew that. Because Krishna came there, and he said, you know, we should go fight, we should do this, that we'll destroy them all. And then, you know, once it's going, then it's going. But Yudhishthira, you know, he's going to follow his vow, he's true to his vow, he's virtuous, he's the most. So therefore, you know, we'll just wait until the time comes. Right? So that means the rasa is there and he's supporting because it is wrong. But at the same time, Krishna has a greater plan. And so Yudhishthira is saying, doesn't Bhima see this greater plan? But there was another consideration. Yudhishthira calmly explained his mind to Bhima. O mighty armed hero, when a man performs sinful deeds, depending upon his own power, such deeds become only a source of pain for him. But if he reflects carefully before action, he will attain success. Listen as I tell you what is likely to happen if we follow your suggestion, born as it is of pride and mental unrest. Right? Because it is. He is proud of the position they're wrong, and he, you know, that his strength, he can take care and all that. So it's not that he's wrong. It's just that the origin of it is going to be coming from pride and mental unrest. From that, he'll use that to perform his duties. But it won't necessarily bring the best results, because the attitude you have and why you perform something, that also flavors the results. Yudhishthira then listed the many kings allied with Duryodhana. There was Bhishma, Drona, and Kripa. Out of obligation, they would certainly side with Duryodhana, right? So Bhishma, Drona, and Kripa, they're there and they're being given facilities by the throne. You know, and they're doing their services to the throne, they're given that facility. So now if they go and have a battle, it will look bad if they've been taking all this facility from the throne and now don't protect it and just go over to the Pandavas. So they can't, like that, out of obligation, they'll have to continue. That's proper. Then there was Ashwatthama, Karna, Bahlika, Burishravas, and Duryodhana's brothers. There were hundreds of other kings who had fought alongside the Kauravas because the Pandavas had previously defeated them. Right? So there's those ones who came out and they were very happy to give tribute to the Pandavas for the Rajasuya, and there were those that had to be defeated. And so the defeated ones, there's every chance they'll come forward and support Duryodhana. Not that they necessarily like him, it's just that that's the way to settle their score with the Pandavas. Duryodhana's treasury was full, right? Because he had his kingdom and theirs, especially as he now had control of Indraprastha. He could easily and quickly amass a vast army, right? Because armies then are conscripted. Their people come forward, so they're being paid. It's an occupation. So you have to be able to pay them the money and everything like that. And it's not you pay them afterwards, you pay them before. Because if they get killed, you can't pay a guy who's dead. But you pay him before, his family has the money. On the other hand, the Pandavas had no possession, no wealth, no army, and only a few allies. But he had mentioned this before to Draupadi, that just it wasn't the time to fight, they weren't in a strong position, and Duryodhana is. And that was enough for her, you know, from that aspect. You know, she had other doubts, but then that was enough for here. But Bhima, then he has to spell it out a little bit more carefully. Yudhishthira continued in grave tones. Duryodhana's forces are virtually unassailable. The Kuru chiefs are masters of the celestial weapons. I doubt that even Indra and all the gods could vanquish them. I especially fear Karna, who is impetuous, angry, invincible, accomplished in every weapon, and encased in impenetrable armor. Right? The armor, he was born with it. It's part of his body. Like that. Yudhishthira remembered how Karna had been born with a natural coat of armor on his body. Although he appeared to be a charioteer's son, it was obvious that his origin was some way divine. Right. So, as we mentioned before, they treat him like a suta, you know, or a chariot driver because of his mentality. But otherwise, you see by his qualifications and his knowledge and skills and everything like that, you know he has to be from some higher position. For some reason, he harbored a deep envy of Arjuna. You know, why? It does not, because he never did anything to him, but just somehow or another he has, because Arjuna is the greatest and everybody accepts that, and he wants to be known as the greatest. One day, Yudhishthira knew Karna and Arjuna would wage a great battle to settle their enmity. The skirmish at Draupadi Swayamvar had been nothing. Karna had not wanted to exert himself against what he thought was a Brahmin, but if he displayed his full power, then who would be sure that Arjuna would be able to defeat him? Right? So he was defeated there because he didn't want to show everything to a Brahmin. They think they're Brahmins, so they're just kind of slightly, you know, dealing. Thinking of Karna and the danger he poses, I cannot sleep at night. Without overcoming him, as well as the other heroes I have mentioned, we will not be able to defeat Duryodhana. O best of men, consider all this carefully. Hearing his brother's admonition, Bhima became pensive. Yudhishthira was right, of course, and he could not argue with him, right? Because he's just angry because it's so unjust. And so here's an opportunity to vent the anger. He's done. He did it. But technically, he knows Yudhishthira's right, because being Dharmaraj, he knows exactly what's the proper thing to do. Although Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, and the other kings in Hastinapur had always been their friends and well-wishers, it was different now. If it came to war, they would surely side with the Kauravas, right? So before, when they were there, they take their side. But if it was war, they have to take the side of the crown. The thought of fighting against those invincible heroes was daunting, especially because he felt so much affection for them. Bhima sat down, silenced, right? So he would, Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, he doesn't want to fight with them because, you know, that's the reality. So that's the thing, they're making all these points based on the mood and all that. And it is correct. You know, it's a nice mood, but they're not even thinking about the practical things. Let's put aside the vow, the vow and the virtue. Just practically, they have nothing, and they're fighting against the best. And there are also people they wouldn't want to fight with. Now, he's just thinking he'll march in there to Hastinapur. There'll be Duryodhana and his 100 brothers. He'll come out with his club, kill them all, and then it's over. And then Yudhishthira is put on the throne. But it won't work like that. You know, the armies will come out, there'll be a whole big thing, Drona, Kripa, and Bhishma will have to support like that. So they're not thinking like that. That's what he's saying. He's being overwhelmed by his pride and mental unrest. He's not thinking through clearly. As the Pandavas sat together, Vyasadeva appeared out of the forest. They quickly stood up and bowed before the Rishi. After taking a seat among them, the Rishi said to Yudhishthira, O mighty armed one, I have divined your thoughts. I wish to help you, and therefore I have come. I will destroy the fever in your mind by telling you how to defeat Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, Karna, Duryodhana, and all his followers. Listen carefully, right? Because he's in anxiety. Bhima just wants to go there and kill them all. But Yudhishthira is in anxiety how we can actually do it, practically do it. Vyasadeva then told Yudhishthira, took Yudhishthira aside and spoke to him in private. He taught him the mystical skill called Pratismriti, and then instructed him to teach the same skill to Arjuna. This skill allowed the practitioner to travel great distances in a short time. Thus Arjuna could go to the Himalayas, approach the gods, and receive from them their special weapons. Because he's worried Karna would be more powerful. So, because he received all the weapons from Parasuram. Right, so now he's pointing out, now Arjuna then with this knowledge then could go to the Himalayas, then please the demigods and get all of their celestial weapons. Due to his asceticism and prowess, he is quite capable of approaching the celestials, Vyasadeva said. Indeed, he is Narayana's eternal associate. Right, because when it's Narayana, when they would fight for that original point, because this demon that they were fighting, he could only be killed by someone who is meditating. And if someone's meditating, how does he fight? But Nar and Narayan are one. Two forms, but one rishi, right? Two aspects of one person. And so, you know, in other words, the Lord and his devotee. And so Nara then sat down, or Arjuna sat down and does the meditation. And Narayana, then he did the fighting there. But otherwise, if it's other things, they both fight. So he's very, as he's saying, his asceticism and prowess, he can easily do that because that's what he is in incarnation, you know, is known for. Indra, Rudra, and all the principal gods will surely bestow their weapons upon Arjuna, and he will perform tremendous deeds by receiving them. After giving Yudhishthira the Pratismriti mantras, Vyasadeva left. Just before leaving, he also told Yudhishthira to move to a different forest. Otherwise, the brothers might disturb the animal population of the Dvaitavan by hunting them excessively. Right? It's a big forest, and they've hunted now. So now it's brought down to the proper level. Now they should move to another forest. Otherwise, then it'll bother the animals. Having lived there more than a year, they had killed many deer, tigers, boar, and other wild animals. Accompanied by the Brahmins who they were supporting, Yudhishthira and his brothers moved to another part of the great Kamyaka forest, this time on the banks of the river Saraswati. Right, so then that ends this aspect. The next we see is now Arjuna will prepare to go to the heavenly planets. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.